Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the Om Times Radio Network.
For my guest today, Don Miguel Ruiz, who is the author of Four Agreements, is on the program today talking about his latest book, The Toltec Art of Life and Death, A Story of Discovery. And this was also co-written by Barbara Emery. So I'm really excited about that. We'll get to that in just a moment. Next week, we have Suzanne Michel again on the program, and we are going to be talking about recognizing the archetypes in our life. And I've had an interesting and quite tumultuous past few weeks, and I think being able to see these archetypes show up, the rebel, the child, the victim, and work through them from a more detached perspective has really been helpful to me. So we will do that next week. And if you need to get a hold of me at any time, you can email me at angela@hestiahealth.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio. And I would love to hear from you, hear your feedback on today's shows and any of the other guests that I have had on. So let's get to my guest. Don Miguel Ruiz is the international best-selling author of a series of books, including The Four Agreements, which had over seven years on the New York Times bestseller list, and it was the 36th best-selling book of the decade. He has dedicated his life to sharing the wisdom of the ancient Toltec through his books, lectures, and journeys to sacred sites around the world. Other books include The Mastery of Love, The Voice of Knowledge, Prayers, Beyond Fear, and The Fifth Agreement, which was a collaboration with his son, Don Jose Ruiz. So with that, I feel very honored and blessed to welcome Don Miguel Ruiz to the program. Hello, Don Miguel.
Hello. It's a big pleasure to be with you once again, Angela.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Without getting all gushy, I've got to say that, my first interaction with you was reading the Four Agreements, and that book was a life changer for me. And I recommend it to clients. I have given it as a present countless times. And so it's pretty exciting to be able to speak with you here today.
Well, it's a big pleasure for me that you give me this great opportunity to share my love with everyone who is listening to us.
Hmm. Well, let's shift and talk about the Toltec Art of Life and Death, A Story of Discovery, which you co-wrote with Barbara Emery's. And it actually is very different from a lot of your other books. It is more written through story and myth, and it really tells us the story that in 2002, you had a heart attack and you were put into a 9-week medically induced coma. And this story explores that space that you were in between life and death. So why did you decide to tell this story in this way, that it was such a departure from your other more teaching-based books?
Well, it's really a great story. It's a story that really happened to everybody in different ways, because we humans are kind of the same, with, of course, different languages, religions, etc. But the human mind is very similar, all the 7 billion people who live in this beautiful planet Earth. Well, this is just a great story, and it happened in 2002. The 28th, I wake up at 4 in the morning with a very strong pain in the chest. He woke me up, and I knew right away that it was a heart attack, because I'm a medical doctor. I was a surgeon for many, many years. And anyway, even that the pain was excruciating, I was very excited. I was excited because finally I will have the great experience of really living the physical body, because one of the symptoms of a heart attack is the sensation of death. Then you know you are dying. And for me, it was perfectly okay. I had no fear at all, but the pain and the excitement, because there was my opportunity to share this experience with all my apprentices, with whoever can come and see me. But what I didn't understand at that point is that in intensive care, they don't receive hardly anyone. Then I was almost alone in intensive care, just with a few of my relatives, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, just before I went into coma, I was talking with my mother, Mother Sarita, a great healer, very well known in the States at that time. And she was very upset. Of course, she told me that I don't have the right to die, that I have to stay alive and take care of her. Anyway, of course, that made me laugh. I said, Sarita, you have other 12 children. They will take care of you. There is no problem at all. And anyway, she said, no, but you're the youngest one, and you have to take care of me. Anyway, just a few moments before the going into coma, I feel the sensation of death, and I see the whole story of my life just in front of me. Since I was a child till the last moments of having the heart attack. And then I went into coma. Then when I decided to write that story, I really want to focus on those memories who really changed my life. I call the significant moments, which is the moments that I have an encounter with the truth. This is the most important part, not only in my story, but in everybody else's story. Because we all, 7 billion humans, we create a story. We live in that story. And like I said before, it's very similar. Because in that story, we have exactly the same conflict. And the conflict is not between good and bad, the way we used to believe for the millennia. Because good and bad is just the result of the real conflict that exists in the human mind. And that conflict is between the truth and lies. Then we create so many lies, millions of lies, who is stored in our belief system and really rule our life. Then this is the big challenge that we all have. Then in the story that I create, just in the story that you and everybody else did, I create a main character of that story, which is what I believe I am, my own identity. I create Miguel Ruiz. Even that I didn't choose my name because my parents chose the name, I adopted, I agree, and that's what identified me. And for my whole life, I used to believe that I am Miguel Ruiz, the main character of my story. And this is easy to understand because everything that happened in my story is about me, about Miguel. Just like everything that happened in your story is about you, Angela. And the same with 7 billion people, we have exactly the same conflict. And this conflict, like I said before, is between the truth and lies. Well, the main character is the one who's going to face all those lies. And this is how we will evolve. That's how we can transcend, by facing our own lies. Because when the lies are corrupt, it creates superstitions. It creates many, many superstitions, and we defend those superstitions. Then we become fanatic defending our own superstitions. Then how bad we are, it depends how deep is the superstition that we believe and how strong we defend that superstition. Then we can say that the story of Miguel Ruiz in this beautiful book, The Toltec Art of Life and Death, is the story of everybody else. You just change the name for your name, and you are facing your own superstition and your own fanatism. And as more you face every superstition and you break it, your personal power will increase more and more and more, until the moment comes that finally the truth is winning over the superstitions. Then the whole book is really about Miguel Ruiz in the face of Mother Sarita Lala, which is Lala is the secondary character in that story, who represent all the knowledge, who represent all the good part and the bad part of knowledge that is full of superstition and defending those superstitions. Then we can see that beautiful drama, because we also may understand that we humans always are searching for the truth. And when you cross certain points and the truth is really defeating all those lies, all those superstitions, then you find really what the truth is. And even that is difficult to describe it with words, I can say without a doubt that there's at least two things that are real. One is death. And this is because we all will die sooner or later. Everyone will die. Then we cannot deny the existence of death. And the other is life. Because we all are alive. We cannot deny either the existence of life, because that will be denying ourselves. Then these two things for sure are true. And all the manifestation of everything that exists is nothing but a beautiful dance between life and death. Then if we want to use science, we will call death matter. Matter, as we know, only move if a force move it, and only stop if a force stop it. But matter by itself cannot move. Then matter has a beginning and has an end. And matter is reflecting and refracting the force that is moving matter.
Well, you can hear we are up on our break. I'm going to ask you some more questions about that when we return, as well as this idea of our memories and revisiting your memories, which is something you did, and the difference between significant and memorable moments. So we'll do that when we return here on Entanglement Radio with Don Miguel Ruiz.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Come on down! You're the next listener of the Joe Show's second annual salute to game shows, Price is Right, Uncensored, a two-part series airing on Wednesday, March 9th and Wednesday, March the 16th. We will take you back all the way to September 4th, 1972, the first day Price is Right aired on CBS. The Joe Show speaks with longtime former producer Roger Dobkowitz, Million Dollar Spectacular announcer Randy West, and longtime former Price is Right legendary host Bob Barker. So mark down Wednesday, March 9th and Wednesday, March 16th, 9 p.m. Eastern, OM Times Radio on The Joe Show.
Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
All right, we are back. And if you're just joining us, we have Don Miguel Ruiz on the program, and we are talking about the subject of his book, The Toltec Art of Life and Death, The Story of Discovery, which was co-written by Barbara Emery's. Now, before the break, you were talking about truth and lies. And you said there was two truths, and there was, you know, that everybody dies and that we are all infused with life. And I wonder, though, because as I understand that, I can kind of grasp that intellectually, but can you give us examples in our life where we can find truth other than just knowing that we are alive? What are ways that we can embody this truth and not be subject to our superstitions or our false beliefs or some of the agreements that we make?
Okay, well, let's see. There's really could be a lot of examples because this is happening all the time. You know, we create the story of the one we live, and we believe it's real because everything looks so real. And like I said before, whatever is happening, all the events is about the main character, is about me. Then when we grow up, we learn everything that society knows, what our parents know, what the school teaches. And we learn so many lies, and we grow up in that way, thinking that what we believe is always right. Anyway, in the interaction that we have with life, we lie most of the time, just like everybody else, even if we don't know. And with those lies, we start creating little dramas that keep growing. And even we believe the dramas that we create sometimes are very intense, that to cover our own lies, we create more lies and drama keep growing until the moment when the truth arrives. When the truth arrives, all those lies will disappear. And that's the reason why so many people believe that the truth hurts. But it's not really the truth what hurts. What is hurting is when the lies are discovered and we feel the shame, the guilt, and the remorse. When all the whole story starts popping up and the truth arises, this, I call it the moment of truth. Like when you go into any soap opera, any movie, you see that that the whole drama is building, and everybody's waiting when the truth is discovered. And this, when they discover the truth, is the highest point of that story. And it's happening to us all the time. We live our lives when the truth arrives, all what we used to believe just fall apart, and we can have a broken heart. We can create a lot of judgments, try to justify our own lies, and try to justify whatever everybody or somebody else did to us. That is kind of easy to understand, that in our whole life is that interaction all the time. And the main character is in between all those, all the truth and all those lies. And we look for allies who believe us what we believe, and we support also what they believe. Sometimes we work together in whatever drama we created, and even collectively we can be afraid when the truth arrives because that may have consequences that we don't like to pay.
That I understand. I want to talk about memories for a second. And I find it interesting in this day and age because often instead of experiencing the moment, for example, our children's, you know, Christmas recital, we're watching it through a screen on our phone and we're taking videos, or instead of enjoying that night out with your friends, you are trying to capture these memories through your phone or your iPad or whatever the case may be. And in your book, you talk about the difference between memorable moments and significant moments. And it seems what we're doing with our mobile devices is we're trying to capture those those memorable moments, but there's that piece of it too, that we're separating ourselves from that actual present experience. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the difference between significant and memorable moments, and also this idea of separating ourselves, because I think now with technology and such, we separate ourselves from really being there and being present.
Well, this is a very interesting question. Thank you for asking. You're welcome. Well, memorable moments is what is happening most of the time that really have any big consequences. Let's say like a the birth of something, when we get married, graduation, etc. This is an ongoing moment in a story, high points in a story that can make us extremely happy or very sad, etc. But a significant moment is when we have an encounter with the truth, and we really not always know when the truth will arrive, because we create, like I said before, a whole story. We believe, without a doubt, that we are the main character. In my case, I used to believe that I am Miguel Ruiz. You believe that you're Angela, and everybody believes that they are themselves. And I believe that this, what I believe belongs to me, like my house, my car, my family, etc., etc. But when the truth arrives, we will find out that perhaps all what I was taking for granted is not that real, and they can go at any moment, at any second, because transformation is happening all the time. But when the truth arrives, it pops our own illusion, what we used to believe. For example, let's say somebody is married, and let's say the husband or the wife, he can believe that it's so secure with the partner, that they believe that they never will cheat or whatever else. And someday the truth arrives and find out that the husband or the wife is cheating. Then the whole illusion that they have, it just falls apart. The truth arrives, and that really caused a lot of emotional and maybe even physical pain. And we don't want to accept the truth. Then this is a significant moment that really can change our life. Because let's see, if somebody finds out that the spouse is not loyal, it's a moment to make a choice. Then that person can stay with the beloved, or can walk away and look for his or her own freedom. Then these moments that will change the direction of our life. Because we also can decide not to believe the truth and support the lies and pretend that nothing really happened. That is also another choice. But in that case, we are living in those lies, and the fear becomes even more stronger, the fear to be abandoned, to be rejected, etc., etc. Then we can see that a significant moment is completely different than a memorable moment, because we cannot deny the truth. Even we can lie to ourselves even stronger than before, but the truth is still there. And in some moment we really want to accept the truth, then we will see that our life will make a big, big change. And anyway, the story of our life is changing all the time. Then it's important for us to understand and to adapt to all those changes. Because we can see that everybody else, they live in their own story. Like as we live in our story, they live in their story, and what they believe is true for them, but not necessarily is true for us. Then awareness is extremely important.
Do you think there's something misguided about us trying to capture and kind of relive all of those memorable moments, like the not the significant one. And that might be part of it, too. If we're not present enough, we might miss those significant moments. We might miss it because we were scrolling through our Facebook page. So do you think there's something misguided about trying to preserve and capture all of those just memorable moments, whether it's the recital or, you know, a night out with the girls?
Well, I don't think it's completely irrelevant either way. We can choose to take our camera and start taking pictures, movies, etc., or just enjoy the moment. It's just a choice, because some people can enjoy taking pictures or enjoy filming whatever is happening. And it's their way to enjoy life. Then this is really a choice for everyone else. You know, what is important to understand is that one of the biggest fears that we have is to be out of control. And the reason is because we learned to love the way everybody else do. Let me go a little deeper in this one. You know, when we was born, we have unconditional love. But when we was educated, we learn what everybody else do, and we learn to love the way they do. And they love with conditions, which means I love you if you let me control you. And they love us the same way they love us if they can control us. That's why we try to please everybody else in order to be accepted, because that will be the punishment, rejection.
Well, I want to pick this up because I think that this is a really important point. I want to explore love a little bit deeper and let you finish that thought, as well as how we can deal with this word love being so corrupted in our everyday life. So we will be returning here with Don Miguel Ruiz in just a moment.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Welcome back. You're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque. And if you are just joining us today, we have author of The Toltec Art of Life and Death, Don Miguel Ruiz, on the program. Now, sorry, Don Miguel, you were in the middle of quite a big concept. You were talking about being born. And all we knew is unconditional love. And then through domestication and socialization, we start to learn that there's conditions on this love. And this is related to our ideas of control and having to control others and control over our own lives. So I wanted to let you finish that thought before we move on.
Okay. We were saying that this is how we learn to love everybody, and this is how everybody loves us. And when we go around, we can see also that they love each other exactly the same way. Then we can see that the entire humanity has a very strong war of control, that the one who have a strong personal power will control the ones who have less personal power. And we can see that struggle wherever we go, in any kind of relationship, parents, children, friends, brothers, lovers, etc., etc. But the worst part is that we learn to love ourselves exactly the same way. We love ourselves with conditions. And this is how all the inner drama really begins, because we love ourselves with conditions, which means I love myself if I can become the way I wish to be, if I can become what everybody else wants me to be, and if I cannot perform the way I should, then I will reject myself, and I will believe that I am not good enough, strong enough, intelligent enough, beautiful enough. And with all those judgments, I will feel myself guilty, and I will reject myself. That when that becomes even stronger, I can even hate myself. And when I hate myself, then I try to forget that I am with myself. You know, something that I used to tell my apprentices is, if you don't like somebody, just go away. If you don't like a group of people, just go away. Don't be part of that. The problem is when you don't like yourself, because wherever you go, you are with yourself. And this is exactly what happened with all the human beings, 7 billion human beings who reject ourselves in one degree or another, because they don't believe that they are good enough. And that is the reason why we are always searching for perfection. We want to be perfect, when we don't understand that perfection exists already, that we are already perfect. We don't need to search for perfection, because we are already. We just don't know. Imperfection only exists in the human mind, and is the result of love, of loving with condition, and not being satisfied with the result. But if you look around and you see the manifestation of everything that exists, you only find perfection. You see, let's say the universe is perfect, the earth is perfect, nature is perfect, everything is perfect. Then how can be everything perfect when humans becomes imperfect? This is not logic, it's not real, it's not truth. We live in a universe that everything is perfect, but in the universe that we create, the one that exists in our life and the story of our life, we see it imperfect. And the reason is because the conflict that exists in our mind, like I said before, between the truth and lies. And we can see how we face our own superstitions, our own fanatism, and this is how we evolve, by facing our own superstitions and controlling our own fanatism. Because at the end of that war, when finally the truth wins, we reach the inner peace. Then we live in peace with ourselves, and we don't have the need to control ourselves neither the need to control anybody around us. Because once that we find our inner peace, we can see that everybody around can also have that peace in the interaction they have with ourselves.
Beautiful. Before the break, I had mentioned that I do want to talk a little bit more about love from the perspective that we've sort of diluted or in your words said corrupted that word love. And because we'll say things like, I love your shoes and I love pizza. And how do we reclaim the meaning of that word? How do we draw it back from the way that it has been corrupted?
Okay, we can see that love is the totality of all the emotions that ever, or everything that really exists, and is always around us. We perceive it since the moment of our conception, but we are not aware of that, of course, and we don't have the elements in the brain and the mind to analyze that, but it's something that is constant. Then, like we say a little before, that matter have the... it can reflect and refract the energy that is moving it, which is energy, which is light, which is life, which is love. Then in that reflection, it will separate and all those different vibrations into refraction. Let's say if you see refraction of light, you will see all the different tonalities of colors. Same with love, in the refraction of love in the nerve system, you will find all the amalgam of emotions, where all the emotions together is really love. But we also perceive the reflection, and the reflection of love is exactly the opposite of love, which is conditional love. Then in the reflection, it becomes right away a lie. But it's a clean lie. Like I say, I love my shoes. Of course you love your shoes. But when you try to explain it, to justify love, we start corrupting love. Then we can say that refraction of love, it comes also with the sensation of desire. You start this desire something, like you wish to have an ice cream. Well, to have the desire for ice cream, you eat an ice cream. Well, desire can go in two different directions. One direction can go into passion. When you have passion, you love what you do. It's not work for you. You love what you are doing. And that passion will take you to inspiration. When you're inspired, you create. You created everything wonderful, beautiful, etc. And that inspiration takes you to the real love, to what you really are. In the other hand, desire can go into obsession. And obsession have the power to destroy what you create, including yourself. Then when you get obsessive of, we can say, of love, you're corrupting love. Then you want to control, and you become angry, jealous, possessive, etc., etc., that you will destroy what you want. Completely different than when you have passion. Because when you have passion, you have the gratitude to receive what somebody else is giving to you. Then that gratitude will become generosity, and you will give even more. When you give more, then that passion, it becomes inspiration, and you rise in love with whatever or whoever you are interacting. You see the big difference going into passion, into obsession. Obsession leads you to destruction. Passion leads you to build the most beautiful thing.
One of the things as I'm listening to you that I can't help but kind of play in my mind is that you're saying that the opposite of love is conditional love. And, you know, I think we've been all taught that the opposite of love is hate. But when you when you take it from the understanding of how you described love, that it isn't just a word, it's the culmination of all emotion. And it's bigger than just a thought or a word, that I don't know, there's something that just really resonates with me that the opposite of love is conditional love, because that really helps me understand, like I said, beyond the intellect, to know love in hearing the way that you described it. So thank you for doing that. I really appreciate giving it, because it is that word that it's used everywhere. Yeah. So when we are going to be coming up on a break here, so I don't want to start too many things. Just so while we're waiting, where can people find your book? Or actually, if you'd like to give your website now, that would be a good time.
Well, it's DonMiguelRuiz.com, and you can find the book in the Amazon, almost in every bookstore, that's my guess.
Yes, I would imagine that probably your books are carried everywhere. Well, when we get back, I want to talk about the role of doubt and skepticism, because I think that that is a really important piece, and it helps us bring into balance some of these ideas that we have, and really brings in that level of discernment, which I think is really important. As well as I want to talk about, in your book, there's a lot of meeting of generations of past. And there's, like you mentioned before, your allies and your teachers, and of course, your mother was there. And just, I want to find out more about your hope for the future of your lineage and your teaching. So we will do that when we return here with our conversation with Don Miguel Ruiz. You're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque. We'll be right back after this break.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour.
Hi, everyone. This is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
if you're just joining us, is Don Miguel Ruiz. And we are talking about the subject of his book, The Toltec Art of Life and Death, A Story of Discovery, which was also co-written by Barbara Emrys. So in the fifth agreement, you talk about being skeptical. And in this book, you also talk about the importance of doubt. Why is doubt so important?
Well, the fifth agreement is be skeptical, but learn to listen. You know, when we write the four agreements, it was the introduction of the Toltec way of life. We may understand that the word Toltec means artist. Then every single human is an artist, and everybody created the story of their life, and everybody live in their own story. And they really believe that their own story is the real one, then they create its own truth, that what they believe is true, but only for them and for nobody else. Then they have the right to believe whatever they want to create the story in the way they want to. But we do exactly the same thing in our story. Then when we understand that point, and I say be skeptical, is don't believe me, don't believe yourself, and don't believe anybody else. Don't believe them because whatever they say may be truth in the story that they create. But they have the right to say whatever they want to say. Then be skeptical, don't believe them. But learn to listen, because when you listen their story, what they say, you understand where they coming from. You may accept or not accept whatever they say. You can agree or not agree in whatever they're doing, but for sure that will help you to improve your own story, to become better and better and better. That is so important to adopt this fifth agreement, because with this fifth agreement, we can say it's the end of the world that we create, because the story that we create is our own world. And this world is being corrupt for so long. Then when finally the truth wins over all those lies, and the peace arrived, is because we already are skeptical with whatever we say, but we listen to ourselves. And in that way, we improve more and more and more our own belief. Then we respect our own creation. Once that we respect our own creation, we also can respect everybody else's creation. Then it's the end of our world. And it's the beginning of a new one when there's no longer war. Then the war is over. And the interaction that we have with everybody else will be completely different. Because now we respect them. We don't try to impose our beliefs over them. We don't want to, we don't need to control them. We don't want it because we really respect our own freedom. The freedom to be whatever we are, even if we don't know what we are.
Thank you for that. So in your book, I feel like, you know, in the beginning, and you spoke about this at the beginning of the interview, that your mother, Sarita, was really, she had a great desire to find you in this kind of space between life and death and get you to come back. She was very compelling, but then near the end of the, she kind of said, you know, he needs to do what he feels is right. And so what do you think ultimately brought you back?
Well, what brought me back really is that my body got stronger and it was able to survive. But this story is so beautiful, because we can see that in that interaction, whoever participated in that story really evolved and gave up, you know, the control. Then we can see that in this story, every secondary character is really an expression of the main character. Then Sarita is an extension of Miguel, Don Leonardo, Don Ezequiel, Lala. Everybody in that story is really an extension of the main character, because the whole mind is really creation of the main character. Then everybody who lives in my story is really an extension of myself. And we may understand this so easily, because we can say in everybody's story, the image that they have about me is an extension of them. Is this? This is what they believe about me, what they believe about you. Then everybody live, create all the secondary characters, an extension of the main character that they have. But those characters that live in my story are based in reality, because my mother really exists. My brother, my sister, my beloved, everything around me really exists. But the ones who live in my mind is a reflection of all of them, because my mind is just a virtual reality. It's not even real, because what is true is that I perceive light. I don't perceive objects. Light is being reflected to all those objects, and the reflection goes into my eyes and project all those millions of objects that I see all the time. But what I see is just the reflection. I don't see the objects. And this is so easy to prove. You know, when you have the eyes open, you're perceiving billions of objects. But as soon as you close your eyes, everything just disappears. And this is because light is not going into your eyes anymore, and it's not projecting the images of all those objects. But as soon as you open your eyes, everything appears right away. Then we can see that the whole mind is just really a copy of what is happening outside. Then the nerve system, it uses a reason to give sense and to give shape to everything that exists, to explain it. And we use the words to explain the whole reality. That's why we create the language that we speak, because with the word we can explain our entire universe, the one who exists in our mind. But it's virtual, it's not real, which means that all the secondary characters who live in my mind, there's nothing but ghosts. Images of the ones who really exist. And I'm a ghost in everybody who perceives me. I hope that makes sense.
No, that makes so much sense. And as you're talking about that, I'm taken back to our conversation before the break about love. And if everybody is an extension of everybody else's ideas, to me, that just makes it easy. Well, not that love needs to be hard, but that it is, everything is that light and that love. And if we're just reflecting this light and those ideas that we've put out there, that everyone is our secondary characters, it makes a lot of sense to me. So we only have a couple of minutes left, and I just wanted you to have a moment to talk about, since your story is so much about generations past and glimpsing future generations, what is the hope for your lineage and your teaching?
Well, like I said before, the word Toltec means artist. And when I talk about artists, I'm talking about the entire humanity. Then all this legacy is going to the entire humanity. It's not important where they live, what language they speak, what religion they follow. It doesn't really matter, because they are artists. When you have the eyes of the Toltec, you have the eyes of the artist. And with those eyes of the artist, you focus in the beauty that you can enjoy every experience that you have in life, any interaction. Because this is the point, to enjoy life, not to suffer life.
Well, we only have a couple, 2 minutes left, so I just want to give you opportunity just one last time to mention your website and anything else you'd like to leave my listeners with today.
Well, my website is miguelruiz.com. And, well, what I'd like to for all of you to know that by the end of the year, we will have this journey to Teotihuacan, where we just enjoy this every year we do that. And just to recommend my children to all of you, they're great. They write several books and they're giving lectures everywhere. And just to let everybody know that I love you.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. I think that that is such a great note. And I just want to just say I really appreciated you taking time out today and coming to speak with us on Entanglement Radio. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are very welcome. And you guys have all my love.
Oh, well, coming up next week, we have my reoccurring special guest co-host, Suzanne Michel, and we're going to be talking about recognizing the archetypes. I've had some interesting things going on in my life the past few weeks, and just being able to use this idea and look at these patterns and understand both the shadow and the light of how they've shown up has been quite a blessing in my life and just helped me navigate through some of these difficult times. So yes, Suzanne Michel will be on next week. You can hear my show live every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern right here on the Om Times Radio Network. If you need to get a hold of me or want to shoot me an email, you can find my work at HestiaHealth.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio. Well, this is Angela Levesque, and I'm wishing you love and light. I'll see you next week.